Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me your eyes so I can see for everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart for the brokenhearted. Give me your heart.
This is Mariah Wilde. I hope you had a fantastic day. Thanks for joining me on Life Matters. Well, we had an extremely busy day, but you know what? I think that's today. I actually posted on Facebook. I said, you know, I have a million things to do. I feel like I'm running a race. But then I thought for a second and I realized that is what it is. We are running the race that is set before us. And I'm happy to say I did get many, I wouldn't say a million things done, but maybe like 900. And so lots of great things going on. I'm excited about tonight's show. We have a very special, very different guest who's won many awards. He's a pastor. He is definitely an activist, someone who has poured out his life for people and also for the youth of this country. And so we'll be visiting with Pastor Charles Flowers a little bit later in the show. But, you know, as I was contemplating what I wanted to share with you a few minutes ago, I thought what's really on my heart at this very moment at 7:32 p.m. is that there is a 20-year-old young man that I'm corresponding with, and he has been available for adoption since he was 15. His name is Gerard Smith. In fact, I'm going to be posting his information on my Facebook page later tonight or tomorrow. And he's a very special young man, but he's also representative of the many, many teenagers waiting to be adopted. He had a Forever Family segment done on him when he was around 15. And, you know, there was a light in his eyes. You could see that he had hoped to be adopted. Then even a year later, they came back to do an update. And even just waiting a year felt so long to him. And he was depressed, and he later described himself at the time of the update that he was just such a bad place. And then now it's even been years longer, and he's 20. And he was never adopted. No family made a commitment to him and said, yes, I want you to be part of my family. Come thick or thin, you are a part of us. You have a place for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and for Easter and someone to give you advice. So, you know, we tracked him down, and I talked to him the other night, and he's going to be a guest on the show. And he said, I cannot tell you how hard my life is right now. Living in a halfway house, my roommate has an ankle bracelet, and somehow the ankle bracelet is tied to the phone. I don't really know how all that works, but I guess somehow it's tied to the phone line if you go too far away from the house. So I guess he's on house arrest. And what... He said, I just want to be normal. I want to be with a family. I'm 20, but I still really want to be adopted. And he said, you know, I just need advice. I need advice to how to go to school, I know that with the PAL program, which is true for many teenagers. And I asked him, I said, well, do you have the financial support from PAL and some of the other government programs? And he said, I need somebody to help me figure all that out. And I just thought, oh my gosh, wow. Here he is, 20. He's desperately in need of a family. But then on the other hand, what about all these other teenagers who are 13, 15, 16? They're also waiting. If we do not come forward and say, yes, come be a part of our family. Okay, so I kind of pictured a cute and cuddly 5-year-old or baby or maybe even a 10-year-old, but I maybe didn't really picture a teenager to adopt. Well, you know what? It's time for us to expand our picture in our mind of what is and what isn't, the possibilities of who can be in our family. Because while not everybody can adopt a teenager, there are clearly many who can. those of you who listen or who have been to our classes, you know that The Blind Side is one of my favorite movies. And that is a true story. You know, I personally do not like movies that are depressing, that have somebody that dies in them. And I'm just like, you know, if I wanted to be depressed, I will watch the news and read the newspaper. And I really am not interested in knowing about anything sad unless I could do something about it. If I can do something about it, if I can seriously pray, or if I can physically get up and make a difference in somebody's life, then you can tell me about sad things all day long as we're going to come to a way that we can help. So that's kind of my feeling about it. So I certainly don't want to watch a movie about something I cannot even help and feel really sad. So anyways, there were some really sad moments, but it was a true story, and it gives you an insight into what some of our children have gone through and how they need a family to come alongside them. Doesn't matter if they look like you, doesn't matter if they talk like you or if they walk like you, but these are God's children. He has an incredible purpose and plan for them. So this boy, Gerard, he needs a family to adopt him, to say, yes, come into my home. Now, let me tell you one of the challenges, and I'm being upfront and honest about these things because he also is, and it's also on his show that he did about him, so I'm not really telling any secrets, but he's been in 35 different homes. A lot of these teenagers have moved around a lot, and I just have to tell you that sometimes their behaviors were not the easiest to live with. So what happens every once in a while, somebody might get the courage up to say, wow, I hadn't really thought about it, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to think about maybe adopting up to a 14-year-old. Oh, but then they read the information about the 14-year-old, and then they usually get scared off. Because children who have been in foster care, their paperwork generally reads really bad. So they have a psychological, they have incident reports. Sometimes you read incidents, things that they've done back when they were 5 years old. Well, you should not label children. And I want to tell you that I have read psychologicals and information and common applications and on children before we placed them. And even I, who at one point had 10 teenage boys and 3 biological and 1 adopted, 14 children total, even I have been like, oh my goodness, wow, this is going to be extremely challenging, and felt a little apprehensive about a child coming into one of our very, very brave families. Not a usual family that would even say yes to one of these kids. But you know, when I meet them, I start to realize, no, this child or teenager is not all the words written about them and the things that they have done in the past. This is a person who needs a family. This is a beautiful, precious child or teenager. And it's time for somebody to say, I'll be the end of the road. I'm not going to bring you in and pass you up, give you back. And neither am I going to pass you by. I'm not going to abandon you. No matter what, I'm going to invite you into my family, and I'm going to hang in there with you, just like I would with my own biological children. And I'm going to see you through into great things, into the greatness that God has for you. And that's what these kids need. That's what Gerard needs. There's a lot of other children that are about to turn 18. There are a lot of other children that are really, really afraid. They don't want to end up where he's at right now. Trying to figure out how he's even going to pay in the halfway house, and desperately wanting a family. So it's not too late to help him, and I am actively working on that, and I hope to talk to him again tomorrow. It's not too late for these 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. You know, I need my family desperately. And so if any of you have, even if you'd like to maybe be a mentor to a teenager, if you'd like to even consider fostering or adopting, I would be so excited to talk to you. You can email me at mariah@familylinkkids.com and friend me on Facebook. It's a great way to get in touch with me there. It's Mariah Wilde, Wilde, Family Link. And then I have other great news, and that adoption for all waiting children is free. And so the way that works is every child over 2 who's a minority, a sibling group of any age, any race, adoption is free. And that's pretty much a tremendous amount of children. And then there's the waiting children. The waiting children are the ones that have already been passed by. You know, a lot of people are going, oh, I really want a little toddler. I really want a baby. And we do find babies in toddlers' homes. But let's not forget about these older children. And by the way, those babies and toddlers will end up being older too one day. So But this free adoption program, we need your help to spread the word. You would be surprised how many pastors and very educated people, chiropractors, doctors that I talk to that really have no idea that there are waiting children and that for them adoption is free. And there's free college, free insurance, and most of the time a reimbursement every month. A monthly subsidy to cover things like football and basketball, ballet, just some extra things. And this is when the child is legally yours. I consider that to be incredibly good news. But there's so many children waiting that I need other people to realize how incredibly great that news is and then help us spread the word. So if you're listening and you are the pastor of a church, a leader of a church, attend a church, or a part of a network working group or community or association, frankly, I think that would probably be almost all of you probably doing something like that. Then would you take on the cause with us? Take on the cause of the waiting children, the ones who are out there praying at night. God, please, I want a family. One little boy said that when he wakes up in the morning, he said, you know, I go to sleep praying for a family, and then I wake up in the morning and I'm still praying for a family. For those, we want to answer their prayers. Maybe you are the answer. Maybe somebody you know is the answer to the prayers of these children. It's so easy to be an advocate for kids with Family Link. We will give you flyers. We'll give you cards. It doesn't cost you anything. You can help set up a presentation in your church. You can get our information in your bulletin. We're planning for a huge summer class. We just finished one last Saturday. That was awesome. We had about 22 families in there. But you know what? We want to have 50 families this summer because the need is that great. Particularly for sibling groups of three or more and for children waiting to be adopted. So those are kind of our two things we're working on. Sibling groups of three or more. And we do need sibling groups for families for two and more, but three is even more needed. And then these waiting children. And these, we have some amazing, awesome children waiting to be adopted. In fact, just today, I had a new set of children, 3 and 7-year-old little boys. Then we have a set of 3 little boys, or I think 2, 4, and 6. For some reason, we're working on lots of little boys right now, and they are needing an adoptive family, and we are actively working on them as well as our list of thousands. So we are going to take a quick break, and then our very special guest, Pastor Charles Flowers, will be with us after the break. I'm going to introduce you to him very soon. Y'all are listening to Life Matters on The Word, 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at familylinkkids.com, and we'll be right back.
It may seem like just another day on the roadways. Yep, another day headed home. But suddenly, out of nowhere, a driver reaches for his cell phone, and coated with distraction, they decide to add a dab of color to your rear bumper. Followed by an eruption of distress, you feel taken advantage of, left in the dark with no sign of sunshine. You sit stern in your seat, anticipating the next step.
Whitaker's Auto Body and Paint, trusted, respected for 20 years. Surrounded by auto body professionals who know how to mend any situation with excellence. Equipped with state-of-the-art facilities, including a paint booth that is one of a kind in Austin. Whitaker's is centrally located for your needs and is even ICAR Gold Class certified with a reputation for quality and speed of delivery. Whitaker's is in partnership with most insurance companies, so they give you peace of mind. They're fighting to protect your automotive investment. Whitaker's Auto Body and Paint with 2 locations. 2019 South Lamar and Pheasant Lane and 620 in Lakeway. Log on to whitakersautobodyandpaint.com for phone numbers and directions.
whitakersautobodyandpaint.com.
Do you spend every year frustrated because your children do not get math and you're not even sure what they're supposed to be getting? I'm David Swarbrick, director of the Math Academy, and we might be able to help you. We begin with one truth. The United States ranks 28th in math performance, just below Latvia. Texas as a state ranks in the bottom quartile of the United States. If Texas is a bottom quartile state in a nation whose math education is defective, we are going to teach math in a different way. We are not going to imitate what is broken. We study nations like Hong Kong and Finland who have proven that they know how to teach math effectively. We study American schools from days gone by when the U.S. was able to put men on the moon and build supercomputers. If this sounds interesting to you, I would like to talk with you. We have summer enrichment classes from 4th grade through calculus, and we have 9-month classes for homeschool students. For more information, call 736-8823. The Math Academy. Small class sizes, traditional curriculum, clear instruction, the way math used to be taught.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is Mariah Wilde, and I have very special honored to have you, Pastor Charles Flowers. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to have met you just a few days ago and to be on the radio with you tonight.
I know. You know, I was reading your bio, and by the way, we sent it out to like thousands of people, and I really felt a kinship when we met. I knew there were some great things about you, but I didn't know all of this, and I do want to let our listeners know. First of all, Pastor Charles Flowers is senior pastor of Faith Outreach Center International in San Antonio, and he's also the founder and director of Love Demonstrated Ministries International Christian Boot Camp. And we're going to talk about that, as well as the founder and commandant of Christian Military Academy. That's going to be interesting to hear about that for those young people between 6th and 12th grade. And then when I started really getting impressed, when I was reading about all these awards, and I'm feeling a little bit behind because I don't have any of these awards, but I was really impressed. And I'm just going to pull out a few of them. You have a letter from President George Bush and Governor Rick Perry for your notable and outstanding achievements. The Baha'i Unity of Humanity Award, the San Antonio Express News Jefferson's Award. You have a letter of appreciation from President Bill Clinton, the Outstanding Youth Leadership Award awarded by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in Washington. Goodness gracious, that's impressive. So you have been busy in your life, and so we are very excited to hear, and we want to be inspired tonight. How can our listeners learn from you? You clearly have taken this life and said, God, here's my all. And you have done a tremendous amount already. So our goal tonight is for you to share. And then our prayer is for people to take a piece of that and be able to then move into their own communities and to change their world that they're in.
Yeah.
So I want to go back a little bit. I know you have an interesting story. How did you end up where you are today?
Well, I've always had a passion for young people, Mariah, even before I was a teenager. In my hometown where I grew up in the backwoods of North Carolina in a little town called Troy. Before I was a teenager, teens would make their way to me, and they'd want to discuss their life's issues. That call of God has been on my life since
wow.
I can remember. I took that call into the military and got trained as a professional military education instructor, teaching leadership, management, comm skills, and things like that. And then the Lord called me out of the military after 12 years of serving in the United States Air Force. I still bleed blue. I had a great career, and I enjoyed every moment of my life in the military, and I probably, no doubt, would have been a career man, but God began to knock on the door of my heart at about the 11-year point and to urge me to get out of the military to go into ministry full-time. And I happened to be serving on part-time staff at a church where my spiritual father, Bud Gardner, was pastoring the church and founded Faith Outreach Center International.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 11 years later that he turned that mantle of leadership over to me in March of 2001, and we've been serving the Lord there since. So it's been an incredible tug from God's heart to my heart to depart the military and begin devoting my time to, because I thought about while I was in basic training, all these guys from all over the country going through a similar set of circumstances, at the end of about a 7-week period, all of us were able to don a uniform, salute smartly, and go give our lives for the country. By the way,
wow.
I just want to take a little small moment right here to just thank everybody in uniform.
Yes.
The Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, everybody who's defending the rights that you and I have to get on radio and express our heart. That's not
mm-hmm.
done everywhere, but because of those who serve, we can do it. We can do it tonight. And so, he called me out of the military to take that boot camp kind of training, and introduce it into the lives of young people with the purpose of getting them connected with God. Once the heart is connected with God, everything seems to make sense. Even the horrors of life somehow seem to make sense because God makes them redemptive. He takes it, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So we set out in 95 to begin to do that with 28 young men. We grew, doubled size the next year to 62 young men, I think it was. And then the third year, we took on young girls because initially it was for young boys.
And, now, is this one for the Christian boot camp
Christian
this is not the Christian Military Academy? Because I do want, right. We want to understand what's the difference between the two.
Okay. Briefly, the difference is in the Christian boot camp, it's a 4.5-week in residence period over the summer where they're involved 24/7. Christian Military Academy is much like a school year. In fact, it is a learning academy, but it's based on spiritual principle, and it runs the same time as a school year, and their classes start at, or their time on campus starts at 6 in the morning, because we structured it thinking primarily, Mariah, about the mother who has maybe a son that's taller and stronger than her and not listening to her, and she has no tool to met, because we've become so disjointed in our society. It used to be when I was a child that the community raised a child. But
right.
we've become so segmented now that that's not happening much anymore. So this mother struggles on her own with this son who she loves, heart cries out for, but she doesn't have any assistance around, a male assistance to help put into the life of that child. And so we structured the school day so we would receive that son or daughter at 6 o'clock in the morning, begin them with physical exercise to wake their body up, then lead them into a period of spiritual devotion where they can get their spiritual man tuned up. Then they're learning leadership. Then they go to breakfast, and then school starts.
Wow. So that doesn't give them a lot of trouble, a lot of time to get in trouble, and I know that is part of your goal, huh?
Right, right. Well, a part of it really is not just to not occupy their time about not getting in trouble. The greater thing is to direct their energies towards something that's godly and redemptive for themselves, their families, and hopefully for the community. And we know that that's happening because I'm getting emails from guys that graduated now from boot camp and from the academy, and they're in Afghanistan, they're serving the Lord, and they're serving the country, and all kinds of... in fact, I just had a guy come to my office. I trained him in 2007, and he came into my office, called me up first and said, "Commandant, I got to share something with you. I can't share with you over the phone." And his name is Ryan. Ryan came into my office and sat down and told me that that his training saved his life in two notable occasions. He was faced with some difficulty, but he heard those voices of his trainers coming back to him and telling him not to lose his cool and to keep his focus and keep his faith in God and keep his actions on track. And because he was able to recall that training, he was able to sail through those two life-threatening events, and so he credited his training for saving his life. So I'm appreciative to God for having done all of that, but there is so much more to do. I listened as the commercial was going about the children that need good homes and to be raised in godly environments. There's so much more to do, and there's room out here for everybody that has a call from God to deal with young people in that way.
Yes, that's awesome. And, you know, I was wondering, how do you get into your summer school? So if you have 4.5, let's say there's a mom who, her son is skating on thin ice and he might be going to juvenile detention, but he's not there yet. And so how does the process work?
We are specifically, they can call our church at area code 210-734-7423. Now, unfortunately, we won't be operating this summer, because we're actually coming out of a very difficult time frame where we had to pay the price for dealing with young people. And so we haven't been operating since the summer of 07, but we start again the summer of 2011, which is next summer. But they can call and get all the information. Of course, they can go to the same website you went to get that lengthy bio from. And I just want to say I'm grateful for all God has done with me over the years. But all the glory goes to God for every redemptive thing. Paul said, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." So that everything that's good in us has come from God. So he gets the credit for all the accolades and awards. But they can go to that same website and pull down some forms and get their sons or daughters ready to attend camp the summer of 2011. And of course, they'll call that number and we'll get them their interviews done and get them ready to go.
So what can we do to partner with you as far as some of your kids and the day program? Do you need more mentors? What do you need from the body of Christ?
Well, glad you asked, because we actually approached the solving of this dilemma, and I will park there long enough to say our greatest resources is not our oil, it's not clean water, it's not clean air, although those things are extremely important and should be pursued with tireless pursuit to make sure that we remain healthy as a people. But those are not our greatest resources. Our greatest resources are our children.
Mm-hmm.
Our children, because unless we are able to deposit in the hearts of our children our faith, our vision about the future, everything will die with us.
Mm,
and so we approach the solving of this children dilemma, if you will, from three major perspectives. One is the boot camp experience, that 44-and-a-half-week, 42-day experience where they're jump-started to get the monkey, if you will, off of their back so they can begin to see mm-hmm. that God has a purpose for me, that no matter where my beginnings were, whether they have the children of violent acts against women or whether they have been abandoned or whatever the case, God has a purpose for them. And so we want to open their eyes up to that first and foremost through that boot camp experience and bring a level of discipline and respect for authority and those things that used mm-hmm. to be in the fabric of American society, but because of the rush of secularism and anti-God, the kind of promotions across the face of the nation, those things have eroded, if not been totally destroyed. And in some cases, young people don't know what that is anymore. So we have to reestablish respect and authority and a sense of purpose in the boot camp experience. Then the second thing we do, after we come out of boot camp, we tie them to a mentor. It's actually during the process when they're in boot camp. We tie them to a mentor. And I found, Mariah, that the most difficult part of our three-pronged approach is to get a mentor for these children.
Mm-hmm.
Because mentorship
That's
right. takes time. Mentorship is a newfangled way to say discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love it.
It's that makes good on everything that they experience in the boot camp. The mentor takes that and massages that, and we train the mentor, by the way,
massage
those things into the heart of that young person and keep encouraging, keep giving them a voice of encouragement for her or him to believe that they can do everything God said they could do, and then give them, the assistance, the voice, the Jesus with skin on it that they need in order to keep moving forward. And then after the other piece, after the mentorship thing, is that we have family conferences. Because you can't change a child
mm-hmm.
without changing a child's family.
Mm-hmm.
If they go right back into that family and there's no change to the principles that are operating in the home that have been broken down, then the child's going to revert, and we don't want to set the child up for failure. So we require. In fact, we won't service a child unless the family says we're in it too.
That's awesome.
And so in the family conference, they have to come three times a year. It's a weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So they actually come for 3 days?
Yes.
Wow.
And we deal with the family dynamic in order to cultivate what happened in the child during the boot camp experience and during his mentorship.
Okay, now hold that thought.
It's very involved, and if the listeners want to
hold
get
that
involved
thought.
With that, they can just call that same number, 210-734-7423. And say, I want to be plugged in. I want to be trained and plugged into this process to help rescue a generation.
Yes, and we want to talk more about that. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we want to get to some pointers you would have for those who are considering teenagers or have teenagers and don't quite know what to do with them because
okay,
they're going
great.
Astray.
Great.
And so we'll be right back. You're listening to Life Matters. Check us out at FamilyLinkKids.com. We love to get your feedback. Friend me on Facebook at Mariah Wilde Family Link, and we will be right back.
Laura M. Stevens and Associates. Laura's been my CPA for a long time. I can't tell you how much money she's saved me, both in filing and preparing my income tax and in giving me the kind of direction for my little business that we all need, whether it's you as an individual, you as the owner or manager of a business or a practice. Laura M. Stevens can be worth her weight in gold to you. They're honest. They have the highest integrity. They've been in practice for over 25 years. So they know how to do it, and they do it with integrity. They save you time. They save you headaches. They save you hassle. They take off your back so many of the onerous chores that keep you from growing your business. You call Laura M. Stevens and Associates at 306-1299. That's 306-1299. Call them today. Laura M. Stevens and Associates, add to your bottom line.
Is this school year barely over and you're already thinking about next year? If so, then you might be a homeschool mom. With busy schedules like ours, we appreciate all the support, direction, and inspiration we can get. For all of the above, mark your calendars for the Central Texas Homeschool Resource Fair, sponsored by One Day Academy, on Saturday, June 12th at High Point Baptist Church from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come find the curriculum you've heard so much about. Be encouraged by the experiences and advice of guest speakers who know and understand. Bring your questions about math, science, English, and more to One Day Academy's team of veteran teachers. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a homeschool novice, or just wanting a little help, the Central Texas Resource Fair is just what you need to jumpstart the new school year. For more information, call Patty at 689-7021 or visit our website at www.onedayacademy.com. That's onedayacademy.com.
Broadcasting live from Advanced Dental Care Studios, you're listening to KLGO Thorndale Austin and K253AN Sunset Valley Austin.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is Mariah Wilde, and we are having a very special show with Pastor Charles Flowers. And Pastor Charles was sharing with us about a mentoring program, something that the body of Christ can come around, come alongside of this organization. And here's the thing. There are not enough families for children that don't have homes. And so if there aren't enough families for them, let's not leave these children and teenagers and families that are suffering that might end up going into foster care without intervention. And so that is what you guys are doing, isn't it, Pastor Charles?
Yes.
You're intervening into families and rescuing this generation. Many of them, without intervention, I would say, would probably end up homeless, in jail, possibly in foster care, if there could even be found a home for them, because it's very hard to find teenagers' homes, as you heard earlier.
Right.
And so I am very excited, and I will commit to you that in San Antonio, for every church that we go to, if you will give me information about the mentoring program, I will put it right alongside our information, because
wow,
there are many families who, well, one, if they're fostering maybe just one or two, they might want to mentor a teenager. But there are also many people who do not feel like they can foster or adopt full time, but God tugs on their heart. And this is an incredible way to change, to impact a generation because of your influence on this teenager's life and yet not be a full time foster parent. So it's a way to change the world in a different way.
Yeah.
And so it's something anybody can do. So I will get, in fact, on Thursday, I'm going to be seeing you Thursday at the Congress for Life.
Okay.
If you will have maybe Janelle bring whatever it is that we need to give out for mentoring, we will, everywhere we go in San Antonio, I will do my best to find mentors for your teenagers, because it
Thank
is desperately needed.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm excited about that program. We can change many, many kids' lives together.
Yes,
in fact,
praise God.
I was going to tell you, too, I have a 15-year-old young man that I've known since he was 2 and a half. But he has been, been a couple different homes. He's had a really hard time. But I'm going to tell you this story to also encourage our listeners. So here, this young man has been smoking pot recently, and fortunately has been engaging in I'm thinking kids might be listening, but activities with the opposite sex. Drinking. In fact, found out he drank 18 beers. He really could have died.
Wow.
So he's been having a hard time. So he spends the weekends with me, And so he was with me. And Sunday at church, the power of God just came. And then they said, if you want to come up to the front, if you want a double portion. And I said, you, young man, we're going. And all my other teenagers, I had five teenagers there. And I was like, you all need to come. But this one doesn't even have a choice. I mean, I pushed him. He's like a good 200 pounds. I said, we're going.
Yeah.
And not only are we going up front, but we're going to the front of the front. So we made our way past the other people in the front.
Yeah.
And we're going. But did you know? And I said, you know, just receive what God has for you. And I begin to pray. And I begin to cry. And just God's passion. I've loved this kid forever, but there was something God was downloading into me. Mm. And this boy who's gone through all this stuff recently, he began to cry.
Wow.
And God began to touch his heart, just soften and change his heart. And then there's some men around. I'm like, hello, could you pray for him?
Pulling him over
because I had been, but he needed some more. And because he's never had a real father. And so, and we try to invest in him when he's with us, but they begin to speak and they said, God, their father loves you. God will be your father. He says,
wow.
I will be a father to the fatherless. And he began to just cry and cry. And they said, the things that have gone on in your life, that was not God's plan for you, but things are going to change. And so,
thank you, Lord.
Isn't that awesome? And then, though, I got the message that I found out that he brought to my house all these terrible, violent video games. And here's the thing, what I tell all teenagers, if you're not allowed to do it, you can't see it or hear it. So you're not allowed to do something with kids. So if it's, like, if you're killing people on the Xbox or 360 or whatever, you're not going to be able to do that. And if your songs have to do with violence and girls and sex and drugs, can't do that either. And the movies, that kind of shocks them. They're like, what? So I happened, though, to go upstairs, and he was already playing it. And I said, let me just share with you. Do you remember what God and me spoke into your life? You remember what you just heard a few hours ago?
Yeah.
And see, I was going to take them anyways, and I was going to break them, but I was going to try this tactic first. And I said, will you give those to me as an exchange? Are you willing to give these to me? And then move on with God, because God has exciting things for you. But if you're sitting over here killing people and in your spare time, it's messing with your brain and doing all this stuff. I said, see, that's just not, it's not going to work. And the amazing part is he said, yes. And then I said a little more. And then he said, yes, I will. And he gave me all of his video games and all of his bad stuff.
Wow.
That's powerful. And that's what we want for all your kids. And that's what our listeners, along with your help, some of them might think, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can have that conversation. That's okay. Your group will. They can love them, take them to the park and play baseball and football and basketball with them. But God is ready. God wants us, though, to be willing to love these teenagers, to love them through the challenges, because on the other side is amazing, amazing things. This boy's going to grow up to be an incredible man. So anyways, I wanted to share that with you and also an encouragement to our listeners. So tell us, too, what's on your heart with the Congress for Life? And let's invite people to anybody else to join in this mission of caring for the unborn.
Well, I had a conversation with an Archbishop Gomez. He's the archdiocese. Are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Here in the city of San Antonio. And we were speaking at the same engagement. Afterward, he asked me if we could have lunch, and we eventually had an opportunity to do that. And he mentioned that he would like for a couple of civic organizations to get on the pro-life side of the issue. And so my word to him was that issue, the issue of the lives of the unborn, is for them a political and social issue. It's not a moral and spiritual one. Mm-hmm. So my desire is for those of us who hold it as a moral and spiritual issue, for us to speak with one voice across denominational lines and across socioeconomic lines and across geographical boundaries. Let's those of us who are in the community of faith speak with one voice for the life of the unborn. And I asked him, would he be willing to broker a meeting of pulling those folks together? He consented. I was pleasantly surprised that he consented
awesome.
To do so. So we began to call the San Antonio Baptist Association, Dr. Price, and Dr. Patterson, and we called Black Baptist Church leader Mike Brown and some Messianic rabbis and some charismatic full gospel people and some evangelical white churches, some of the largest churches in the city and in the country.
Wow.
I was able to sit down with Pastor Robert Emmett over at Community Bible and Randy Fraser at Oak Hills Church. They're very prominent large churches here in the city of San Antonio. And they all consented. Yes, let's do that. Let's Let's get into the same room, think tank the process through, and see what God will give us as one voice for the voice of the unborn. And Thursday of this week is the third of three meetings where we're strategizing. Now, obviously, some of those things are timely in nature and don't need to be spoken about now.
Mm-hmm,
but what you will see and witness tomorrow, as you did last Thursday, Mariah, is that there is a willingness in the heart of people to get intimately involved in the community of faith and preserve the life of the unborn. Since Roe v. Wade in 73, over 50 million babies. I mean, you can't even say that and remain sane. So we use this word like abortion as a membrane that numbs us to the reality that 50 million children have died since Roe v. Wade, and disproportionately minority and low-income children. There's a target. There's a specific strategy afoot to make that happen.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
So there is, a group of us now in San Antonio that are working together, and my heart is glad to see that our Catholic brothers and Protestant and all across the denominational world having a single conviction that God is the author of life.
Yes,
and that life
right.
is worthy to be preserved. Human life above all else is worthy to be preserved. So we want to make abortion unthinkable in this city by winning the hearts of God's people and mobilizing God's people to that end.
So let's say someone's listening and they want to be a part of the movement. Is there going to be another Congress for Life or another? What would you encourage people to do if they go, wow, I hadn't really thought that much about it, although we do talk about it on the show quite a bit, but maybe that we have a new listener tonight and they thought, well, what can I do about it? What would you tell them?
There is a group of that same group that I just mentioned to you of pastors and leaders. These are not only just pastors. They're also, like yourself, they're providers trying to get people into children adopted into homes that have a core of faith and can introduce them to the things of Jesus Christ and teach them and train them. There's also other medical professionals that are willing to take a stand where their participation is concerned and preserve life on that regard. In the legal arena, action is being taken, planned action is being taken. So if the listener wants to get involved, they simply just need to call that same number, 210-734-7423, and direct their calls to Janelle and tell her they want to be involved in the Congress for Life. And we'll get information back to them how they can get involved.
Oh, that's so exciting. I really do feel like times are changing, that God is touching people's hearts for both the unborn and the born.
Yes.
And they oftentimes are the same children. Let's make sure that we value them before they're born, but then let's not forget about them after they're born.
Right. You said something a minute ago, Mariah, about some things you were doing with that 15-year-old. And I know that there's probably listeners right now whose sons and daughters, they love those children, but the call of the wild, is the way I describe it a lot of times, has gotten a hold to the ear of their teenage teen son or daughter and has whispered all kinds of immorality and ungodliness and stuff into their ears, and it's being promoted now, as you said earlier, over the radio waves and through CDs and video games. And, how does one guard against all of that negative infiltration that comes into the lives of their teenagers and keep them on the straight and narrow toward their purpose in God? One, I want to say this is what you said a minute ago. It's courage. Someone said the most fearful thing to be in America today is a teenager, because you got this barrage of stuff coming at you. And the second most fearful thing to be is the parent of a teenager.
I agree with that. So, I have a lot of teenagers.
So how do I keep my child from being overrun by these negative influences? One, it takes courage on the part of the parent. As you said earlier, the child lives in your home. You're paying the mortgage or the rent. They don't have a room of their own. That space is not their own. They are stewarded, just like we're stewarded from God, everything that we possess. That child is stewarded the use of that room.
That's right.
So they can't hang a sign on the door that says, parents, keep out.
I love that. And you know, we do have to take a quick break, and we're getting into right now the wisdom advice as father of four, but actually the father of many, many is going to tell you. So if you have teenagers now, or if you have little kids, guess what? They will be teenagers. So stay tuned. We're going to hear what he would tell us with the rest of the show. So you're listening to Life Matters on the Word 98.5 and 99.3. We'll be right back.
Are you called to ministry? At Austin Graduate School of Theology, we're called to help. Introducing Matt Porter for the Austin Graduate School of Theology.
For my first visit alone, I felt as though I was a part of a family, and having been in college before, I knew that that was something that was rare and special, and it certainly helped in my decision. But the thing that really drew me the most was the faithfulness of the staff and the faculty. They not only studied and taught the faith, but more importantly, they lived it out, and they became not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and that was really the deciding factor for me.
The Austin Graduate School of Theology has a program just for you. Call today about our Master's in Theological Studies, our Bachelor of Arts in Christian Studies, and our personal growth programs. Call 476-2772. That's 476-2772, or go to austingrad.edu. Austin Graduate School of Theology, equipping men and women for kingdom service.
Hi, everybody. My name is Marla Roundtree, and I want to tell you about my new show, Roundtree Live, Saturdays, 3 p.m., right here on The Word. We'll have call-ins, live interviews, and thought-provoking topics, things you normally don't talk about. So please join me Saturday, beginning May 1st, right here on The Word. See you then for Roundtree Live.
Roundtree Live is supported by the free will offering of you, the listener. Offerings or love gifts in support of the ministry may be sent to Will Power Ministry, Post Office Box 1711, Buda, Texas 78610. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to all that will hear it. Roundtree Live.
Spread the word. Now you can build your better breakfast at Subway.
Breakfast, breakfast, yay, breakfast.
Just how you like it.
I like egg whites.
On an English muffin.
Black forest ham. Nothing better.
And American cheese.
Jalapenos and tomatoes.
Subway now has breakfast, like the Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Fresh toasted and made just the way you want. Only at Subway.
Subway! Yes. Products may vary. May be available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I know your parents were just waiting anxiously through the commercial breaks. You're like, okay, what can I do? And I love, Pastor Charles, what you just started off with. That's a very good point. All this thing where the kids maybe have keep out and then they have heavy metal or almost naked girls in their rooms. No. Anytime any teenager has told me, well, this is my room, I can do what I want, then I just say, well, I'll be happy to do the math. Let me figure out how much that room costs with the mortgage. And if you start paying for that, plus you're part of the electricity and all that stuff for that room, then we can consider that to be really your room. Otherwise, it is our house that we pay for that we're going to share with you. And right. That absolutely, the parent has to remain the parent. So I love that point. That's very true. Then what else would you say? What's next? I'm writing them down.
I'm going to give them a list of C's. The first one is courage. The courage to take charge of the situation, the room situation, and the living situation in their home, and the courage to face the things that their children are oftentimes being fed at school and through society that contradict what the parents' moral code or what the parents' spiritual convictions are. They must have courage enough to confront those things. And if they're going to confront it, and I say that because you cannot change what you don't confront. If you're not willing to confront it, you can't change it. But if you are willing to confront it, then God gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to bring change into that situation. And change is what young people want. A parent is valued for the level of change he brings to the child, not the level of complacency.
Ooh, that's good.
So first, take courage. Here's the second thing. If you're going to take courage, be committed. Stick it all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I oftentimes see we will engage the process, but then we'll back off when it gets tough. Be committed. committed to see the process all the way through. Now, that may mean some sleepless nights. It may mean some fights in the home, arguments and so forth, disagreements between you and your child. But don't let an incident of a controversy between you and your child stop you from being committed to the process of changing that child's life. Be committed to it. Thirdly, community. That's the third C. First is courage, commitment. Here's the third, community. If you're not a part of a strong local church that values family, become a part of a strong local church that values family. And if you're a teenage mother, not necessarily a teenage mother, but a single mother that has a son, that son is going to need male influence.
Yes.
As a woman, you can teach him how to respect women, and you can teach him how to value womanhood, and you can teach him about a level of nurturing and so forth that he needs. But there are some things about his manhood you can't teach him because you're not a man. And
that's
he's
right.
going to need to be in the company of men that are bold enough to speak into his life and do some father and son exchange time with him. So grow that son up in community.
Yes.
And here's what needs to characterize that community is our final C is caring. Someone said, no one cares what you know until they know that you care.
That's right.
Now, when caring starts to flow forth out of the heart, and young people see that you're doing it, because, you don't know, in the summer in the boot camp, me and my staff, we're 6 inches from those guys' face. I have a campaign cover on. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. But, you know, they love it because they know it's coming from a caring position. We're not angry with them. We love them. And we have to blast away all of that debris that the world has piled up through radio and television and all kinds of input to get down to the core of their heart and there begin to make change. I can't tell you, Mariah, how many times a big old head of a teenage boy has been laid on my shoulder weeping because finally somebody was bold enough to get in his face about himself.
Wow.
Or a teenage girl. They often call our staff mom and dad. That's what they want mom and dad to do. Care. So let me go over them again, just for, us preachers, we like alliteration. Courage, commitment, community, and caring.
Now, would you go into a little bit more detail, and I referenced it, you referenced it, but really, what do you believe that parents should allow their children and teenagers to see and hear? So what kind of videos,
a couple of guidelines.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:8 is one of them. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are virtuous or praiseworthy, think on these things.
Yes.
He tells Timothy, give yourself wholly to them so that your profiting may be seen before all. So there is a principle there. I want my children's eyes. Somebody said, well, you're trying to cocoon children. There's enough evil in the world. They're going to see it. So because they're going to see that a massive amount of evil that's in the world, focus on putting truth, honesty, justice, purity, loveliness into the heart of that child. Because it's like these five senses that a child has is like input devices to a computer. Garbage in, they used to say way back in the days.
Yeah, that's right.
Primeval computer days. Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
So if we put the right stuff in, the Bible says it like this in Matthew. It says, for of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right.
So parents, what do you put into your child? What you want to see coming out of them? I was dealing with a mother one time, and she was telling me about her son, and her son had called her a name, and it just broke her into pieces. My son called me this name, started with a second letter of the alphabet. And, and so she just began to weep over that fact that he had called her that name. And so I asked the mother, what is he listening to? What's his music like?
Yep.
She said, I don't know. I said, well, go home, get him, and grab all of his music and bring it with you. The first thing, the CD on top was a CD back at that time. It was called Slim Shady. And you put that CD in, and the first thing you hear is the sounds of people having interactions.
Wow.
And then the first word, one of the first words he said were the words that he called his mother. I said, so now are you surprised now that he called you that word? because that's what was in him. Mm-hmm. What's abundant in him is going to come out of him. So we go back to courage. You have to say, you're not listening to that in my house.
And you know what? I think that this is such an important thing for the Christian community to hear, because they often think, well, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, other people are doing it. You know, I'm just, it's okay. But I just want to say, look at the world. Look where the world is headed.
Yes.
We have somebody that people think is really great, Lady Gaga, and she's like naked out there, and she got all these weird things on her face. I saw a picture of her again, and I'm like, this is who the world is saying. This is good. We like this. So we have to be different. So it's time for the parents to stand up. You have to protect your children. And you know what I've told teenagers, and I have had 10 teenage boys at once, and I said, you know what?
10?
Yes, I had 10 teenage boys and 3 children and 1 adopted. I had 14 children total. And here's what I told all these crazy boys. I said, let me just tell you, I'm so sorry that you weren't protected. And I know that you have lived your life listening to whatever music you want, watching whatever movies. You did this, you did that. And I'm so sorry that nobody has protected you. But you know what? The day has changed, and I'm here to protect you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, this is not good. I said, no, it is. It's great news.
Yeah.
I said, here's
and
the thing.
They value it later. They may not value it when they're going through it, but they value it.
Right.
Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old,
yes,
he will not depart from it. That means some things he's not going to value until he gets older.
That's right.
Parents have to be willing to be hated by their children. They have to be courageous enough to hear, I hate you. When you hear that, parents, let me just encourage you, you're getting somewhere.
And you know, the other thing, too, is do an exchange. Don't just take everything away and then your child is just basically has nothing to do and locked in the room. Go do things. San Antonio
yes.
has all kinds of things to do. Austin has all kinds of things to do. Spend time with your children. Look into their eyes. Listen to good music that they like and you like.
Yes.
Do, if you invest in them, then you're not always taken away. And with those 10 teenage boys, I moved into a home and they were already there. My husband and I do with all of our kids. So the system was already set up and I had to go and like change everything. But I said, you know what? It's going to be an exchange.
Yeah.
You've been able to do whatever you want in your life, and where's that gotten you? It's gotten you here. You need a family.
Right.
So now we're going to do things totally different, but I'm going to give you an exchange. I will never be mean to you. I will always be kind to you, and we're going to do this, and we're this, and guess what? We're going to have fun. So you can't listen to all this bad, terrible stuff, but we're going to do great things instead. And
yeah.
that's the message for you guys listening. If you have let your kids slide, or if you have foster children that come in, and they're just, of course, used to doing and everything they want to do, just remember, you're not just taking it away. You're exchanging. You're taking
yeah.
away their tarnish,
yeah.
just their jewelry that's fading and terrible. Just take away the movies and the videos. It's nothing. And instead, you're going to exchange it for gold. You're going to exchange it for Jesus. You're going to exchange it for fun and kindness and love
yes.
and a great purpose. And so
yes.
if you do it that way, it's not hard to take it away because you're exchanging it for something so much better.
The whole pursuit of this Christian life is a great exchange. The Bible
yes.
says in Romans, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're trading the way we think. We're exchanging the way we think. From ungodliness to godliness. It's a righteousness that we've received from Christ. He took our sin, gave us his righteousness, a great exchange taking place. And so they need to get in on this great exchange and,
yes.
and make it fun for them.
Yes. Oh, I can tell we're going to need to do a part 2 sometime soon. I'm looking forward to seeing you Thursday. God bless you.
God bless you too.
We're going to have an extremely strong partnership where we'll change the world together. And we invite all of our listeners to come alongside. We need every single person.
Yes.
So I will see you Thursday and we'll plan a time for you to come on again and share your incredible years of wisdom with us.
All right. God bless you, Mariah.
Thank you so much. Y'all have been listening to Life Matters. We'll be back again live tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we have biological children and foster children sharing their hearts with us. It's been an incredible evening. Have a wonderful night. Go hug your children. God bless you. Bye-bye.